Second Timothy chapter 2. And so far, the Apostle Paul has told Pastor Timothy, number one, don't be ashamed of the gospel. And number two, instead, hold fast to the gospel, right? But how is that possible? Because we are so weak. You notice that? We are so weak. The third stanza of Come Thou Fount is so true. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Well, folks, that was true of Pastor Timothy as well as anybody else. The Apostle Paul is going to tell you how to let go of the shame and hold fast to the gospel. He does that in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace. So how do you hold fast to the gospel and release the shame? Number one is the how, and that is get strong. Get strong. You want stronger grips, you gotta get those grips strong. You gotta work them out. You know, it takes strength to drop the shame and hold fast to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It really does. Physically speaking, you have what's called athletic strength. Okay, this comes from playing sports and weightlifting. This is what a lot of our teen boys have, okay? Definitely a healthy strength to have, okay, and quite useful. But then there's that physical strength that comes from age, experience, and hard, intensive labor that one does for a living. That strength doesn't come so fast. That takes time, okay? That's that strength that's raw and sinewy and hard and tough. Anybody that does anything for a living has that kind of strength. I don't have that kind of strength. We got a lot of men here that do. My dad was a teenager. He had athletic strength. He was a wrestler and ran cross country and all that. But then you fast forward 20 years later in his life and what he did for a living when he worked the fence line and that hard work all day. Well, you know, my dad was, he's never been a big man. He was 5'6", I think. But there was not too much my dad didn't grab hold of. They didn't move. The 40-year-old Mike DeLeon could bend the 20-year-old Mike DeLeon in half. He had that kind of strength, and he had a grip of steel. And when I was 18 and 17 years old and feeling my oats, come on, Dad, let's go. He said, you think you're big enough yet? And he'd grab my wrist and squeeze. Okay, I give. That's it. You know, arm wrestle him all through my teen years. Never did beat him. Never did beat my dad. Well, folks, this is the kind of spiritual strength God is talking about in verse 1. When he says, be strong, he's talking about that hard, sinewy spiritual strength that when the chips are down, things really get tough, that comes in useful. You need it. You got to have that kind of strength. And this is a command. Did you know that? This is an imperative when he says, be strong. And you know literally what that phrase means? He's saying to receive strength. The strength is offered to you. Now, the command is take it. Receive it. Because he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, receive what he offers you. Now, how exactly do you receive strength by the grace of Jesus Christ? Well, folks, that's easy. It's found over and over and over again if you study the Bible, and that is learn God's word, live God's word. Learn it and live it, okay? Those of you who do manual labor for a living, this is how you got physically strong. First of all, you showed up at work. And secondly, you got to it, right? It was the same thing spiritually. First of all, you got to show up to the word so you can learn it. That's what you're doing now. It's what you do when you do one-on-one Bible studies with friends. It's what you do when you do family devotions. It's what you do in private devotions. There's all kinds of ways that you show up to the word. And then secondly, you got to live what you learn. That's go to it. If you know what it says, you obey. Not always easy to do. It takes strength to obey God's word. But by obeying it, it's how you get stronger. And it's how you get that raw, sinewy, spiritual strength. Get strong. I always tell our young people, I say, you're surrounded by folks who have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and you look up to them. You say, that's a spiritual giant. If you feel that way about somebody, let me tell you something, young person. That person didn't start out that way. They started out like you, but they made a choice sometime in the past that they're going to learn God's word, they're going to live God's word, and that's how they got to become the spiritual athletes and strong folks that stand before you today. You can do that too. You can have that, absolutely. Now he goes on, and after explaining the how to hold fast to the gospel while not being ashamed of it, he then goes into the why. He goes into the why in verse 2. It says, and the things you have heard from me, and this is talking about the spiritual things, the very word of God that God gave the Apostle Paul to teach. He said, those are the things he's talking about. He says, the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Why do you get strong, Christian? So you can pass it on. Simple as that. So you can pass it on. This too is an imperative. Do you know that? It says, commit these. Commit these things to faithful men. That's an imperative, meaning it's a command. You've got it, now give it. All right. You know, firefighters tend to get fit, okay? Firefighters tend to get strong, and, not just so they can do calendar shoots. To me, that's a shallow reason for a firefighter to get fit. They ought to be getting strong, and many of them do get strong, so that they are useful at what they do for a living. That is hard work fighting fires. And those hoses are heavy. That gear is heavy. It takes the wind out of them just running in that stuff, but they're not just going to run. They're going to do hard manual labor in that stuff. And to do that, they need to be fit. So they do their jobs so they are better prepared to save somebody's life. A firefighter gets strong. Why? So other people can benefit. Well, that's the same reason you're supposed to get spiritually strong, so that people around you can benefit. That word commit in verse 2, it just means to lay down in front of, like serving a meal. You learn the word of God so you can serve it. And not only the things you say, but by the things that you do. Right? Oh, and by the way, this applies to you too, ladies. Okay? It says, commit these to faithful men. Well, that word men is anthropos. It's not the Greek word anir, which means a male. It's anthropos, which means mankind. Commit these to faithful people, is what that is saying. It includes everybody. So that people can pass it on. Do you remember that song? Those of you who are old enough, came out in the 1970s as a Christian song that we used to love singing around the campfire. Okay, we're going to try this song. See if you can flash it up there, Ben. We'll try both stanzas. Now, this is... It is a Christian song written in the 1970s. It has a 1970s Christian song ring to it, so it's going to make you think of the Brady Bunch and long, straight hair and big collars. But if you have never heard this song, listen to the old people around you, okay? Because they probably know it.
It only takes a spark to get a fire. Soon all those around can hold its glory. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, spread His love to everyone you want to
sounds like we should all be waving lighters when we sing that song. But you know, isn't it so true that when you receive that from the Lord that is so real and so meaningful in your life, you really don't want to keep it, folks. You want other people to have the same benefit, just the same joy and peace of knowing the Savior that you've got. And that is the whole reason that you get strong in the first place. Once you start growing in the grace of God, you quickly realize, man, this isn't about me. This is about God and how he can bless others through me. Because of him, I have something to give. Did you notice the type of people that you're to commit these things to? Look at verse 2 again. Commit these to faithful people. Faithful people. That means committed people, trustworthy people, those who will take it and grow. Now, that doesn't mean you don't share the gospel with the lost. You have to do that. But when it comes to really investing God's word into somebody's life, Paul was very clear. Do it with faithful, trustworthy people. Christ put it this way. He said, don't cast pearls before the swine. And remember, this is Pastor Timothy here, okay? And I have heard several pastors in their golden years say that several have said this. They said the biggest regret early on in their ministry was spending a lot of time chasing the wayward sheep who would not be faithful to the neglect of those who really wanted to grow. We're always supposed to reach out to the lost, and we're supposed to reach out to the wayward and leave the door open. But what Paul and Christ told us, the concentrated effort goes into those who want what you have to give. That's a reality. I heard a youth pastor say that to the parents. Says, listen, he said to the church, I'm here to serve, and I'm here to disciple. That's the calling of a pastor. And I'll reach out to the lost, and I will reach out to your kids, even if they don't want to hear what I have to say. But I am not going to spend all my time chasing your wayward kids. I'm going to spend most of my time with the young people who want to grow in Jesus Christ. I was the recipient of a pastor, a youth pastor, who had that mentality. Ours was a really small youth group. It was really small. We only had about 12 teenagers. Could barely afford a youth pastor. And when I got saved, remember, I was probably the only one in this youth group who had not grown up in church. And you know, it doesn't have to be this way, but at my church, those young people who were so used to the word really didn't have any interest in it. And I did. And so Pastor Dwight would spend time and reach out to those other teens. They would often shoot him down, didn't really want to do a Bible study with him, nothing like that. I did. This was wonderful that I was saved by grace. This was all new. I couldn't get enough of it. And I'm so thankful he had the attitude that the Apostle Paul was passing on to Timothy. Invest in faithful ones. I made a choice. I'm going to follow this. And so Pastor Dwight jumped on that. He spent 3 years off and on with me in Bible study. 3 years. And it was just until the Lord called him to another church. But those were 3 years well spent. He offered that opportunity to others in youth group too. Most of them, not all of them, most of them did not take it. But because of his investment, I benefited from him. How dare I take what I benefited from Pastor Dwight's investment and keep it to myself when God says, you ought to commit that to somebody else. Commit it to someone else. You know, Jesus Christ, he reached out to the masses, right? But he concentrated his efforts in the handful. And those men, in turn, did the same. You know, the reason you commit all of this to faithful people is, what does it say? So they, in turn, can do the same for others. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Folks, this thing's just supposed to keep on going and going and going. It's been 2,000 years now. 2,000 years. If you're growing in the Lord right now, you know why that is? Because 2,000 years ago, a handful of men got this ball rolling by the Lord's orders. We're here at Open Door Baptist Church, New Woodstock, New York, USA, year 2017, because 2,000 years ago, a few faithful men grew in spiritual strength and taught others to do the same. And here we are because of that. Oh, this isn't going to stop. Okay? Christ said he would build his church. He's doing it now. This isn't going to stop. That's out of the question. What is in the question is, are you going to be part of this growth train, or are you going to get left behind? That's your choice. You make the call on that one. You know what is encouraging about spiritual strength? It doesn't fade like physical strength does. I kept talking about my dad, past tense, about how the man in his 40s and 50s when I was a teen was just as tough as a rock. He turned 69 in July. I'll be honest, I'm still not going to arm wrestle him. But he's not what he used to be. And he knows that. And none of us is as we age. I give up trying to keep up with Samuel in the gym. We're done. Okay, he's past me. Go ahead. Just don't lip off, boy. I'm still your dad. Okay. But spiritual strength just does not fade like physical strength does. In fact, I mean, though it's hard work to get, age doesn't make you lose it. It just brings more opportunity to use it. It's a strength that just keeps on growing. This is why it's worth the hard work of hitting your spiritual gymnasium. Learn it, live it, and then give it to somebody else, because then they're going to do the same thing. Folks, you just don't lose when you do that. And so many of you are the recipients of this kind of spiritual investment that makes you also the investor of spiritual investment. Praise God.